All right. Well, first off, good morning. Just want to go ahead and, before I even get into things, I want to go ahead and just take this time to congratulate the seniors. You guys made it through that life stage. It's not easy. You guys did a great job. You're here. You made it. And now I'm expressing my excitement for you for the next 4 years. Next 4 years is going to be crazy. You're going to love it or you'll hate it. Either one. But that's up to you. Anyway, so I'm going to jump right into it. What I'm going to say is probably going to ruffle some feathers here a little bit, but I need to address these areas because I feel these are areas that the church and us as Christians just fall short and we drop the ball. In doing this, I'm hoping to prepare you to avoid these pitfalls of being a Christian. I have 3 points. First point is this: invest in people. As Christians, we get such a bad rap about how judgmental we are, how rude we are, or how against the church, or against this the church is, or against that the church is. How we can't be associated with those sort of people or that thing because of how it may look us feel, may make us look. And rightfully so, because we have done nothing to prove the world wrong. But aren't we called Christians, little Christs? I don't feel like that was a look that God was going for when he told us in Matthew 28:16-20, the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. So why do I say this? In this next stage of life, you're going to meet all kinds of people, different walks of life, different backgrounds, different faiths, different upbringings. Live up to your name as Christian and invest in those people. Spend time with them. Love on them. Prove the world wrong. And quite honestly, it's becoming more and more uncool to be a Christian in today's society. If we meet people where they are and show them that we have an interest in not only their physical lives, but their spiritual lives as well, they have no choice but to ask questions. One of the best stories I feel of Christ investing in someone is from Luke. You may know the story. It's from Luke 8:43-48, and it deals with the woman who had the issue of blood. For those of you who are not familiar with the story, Jesus is walking through a crowded street of people. People are bumping into him, touching him, he's a celebrity, so they're trying to be close. Like, New York streets had nothing on this. And a woman, poor, outcast, beaten by illness for 12 years, reaches out and touches his cloak. The Bible says in verse 43 of that passage that no one could heal her, but she knew. She knew Jesus was someone. Later, after she crawls to the group of people and touches Jesus' cloak, he says, "Who touched me?" That's it. Did you see it? The God of the universe stopped everything he was doing and spoke to her, invested in that person. Not only did he ask who touched him, but he looked her in the eye and had a conversation. He didn't have to heal her, but he chose to out of the love of wanting to invest in her life. When we invest in the lives of those around us as Christians and show love like Christ did, the kingdom will expand and he will use you. Point number two, make your faith your own. Now, right away, I want to clarify this because I know a lot of us are probably thinking, you know, make my faith my own. No one else is living my faith. Of course it's mine. Travis, it's ridiculous. Stop talking. This doesn't make sense. Let me clarify. What I mean is this. Know what you're talking about. Know what you believe and why you believe it. There's no worse feeling than having a conversation with somebody and you're getting real close to those really hard Christian questions. And they ask you a question and your response is, I was just raised that way. Credibility's gone. So, what I mean is this. I'm not saying that you have to have apologetics under your belt for years and years and years and years. But have a common understanding of why you're a Christian. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says this. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks and give the reason for the hope that you have. But don't miss this last part at the end of this verse that I think a lot of us miss when we're dealing with this kind of stuff. Do this with gentleness and respect. I think we miss it. Know what you believe and why you believe it. It is commanded of us as Christians to be a part of who we are. Don't go into this world unprepared. But how do we make our faith our own? Like, how do we really own it? We know that it's commanded of us as Christians, but it's an end result of being able to give an account. What's the process? Well, I firmly think that in order to be able to give an account, you first have to invest in a relationship. God wants to spend time with you and have you get to know him in return. Set aside that time every day to commune with your Father. And that can be anything from prayer to studying his word, using a skill set that he's given you that, I mean, for example, for me, drumming, I feel closest with God on occasion when I'm drumming, not even necessarily for church, but just being and using that skill that he's given me. Or even the hardest one, to sit down and just listen and wait for God. Through honoring your commitment, he's going to honor you in return for being faithful. John 15:4, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Even more importantly, we cannot bear the fruit of our labor unless we have that time of fellowship with our Father. If we are not being fed, what gives us the right to try to feed others? In other words, if you don't spend time with him, why are you talking about him? So make it your own. Make it a priority. Something that you desire, not just something to check off this Northern Virginia checklist that we all have. So now for the third and last point. And this is by far the hardest point of the three. As humans, it's our fallen nature to run and to not listen. And that's our third point, is to listen. Society tells us to do anything we can to get to the top. Doesn't matter who you listen to, you don't. Doesn't matter, as long as you're there. I'll be the first to admit this is the hardest thing for me. And it's something that I am forever and still working on to this day. But there's so much promise in listening to the Lord. In John 10:27-28, it says this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. I give eternal life, and I give them eternal life, so that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. When we listen, the God of the universe knows us. To be known, to be given eternal life. Is there a greater gift? Because if there is, please tell me. I have no idea. Listening also ties back into our first point of investing in people. People just want to be listened to. They want to know they mean something, that they have worth. When you invest in people and show them that they're worth listening to, that's when God shows up and can use you for anything. So be known by God. Find that time to commune with him. Invest in your Father. It's not easy, as I said. We've always seemed to be looking for God in some crazy miracle or some huge revival, but that's not always how God shows up. You know, I've used this illustration before and from this story, but it's one of my favorites, and it works so well. 1 Kings 19:12 is a story of Elijah hiding in a cave waiting for God after fear of persecution. And God sends the giant wind, and then he sends a giant earthquake that can level mountains, and then he sends a giant fire, and Elijah's looking. And he can't find God in those things. And then he stops and listens to the whisper, and that's where he found God. Sometimes we look in the wrong places, and all we need to do is sit and listen to the quiet voice of the Lord. In closing, I want to go ahead and share a story with you guys from my junior year of college. It was the first year I had moved off of campus, and I was on my own. Two roommates, you know, I was owning Lynchburg. Things were great for the first 3 days. And then I had a really bad week. I had no food. I had no money. I had no job. And my father received a phone call that sounded like this. Hey, Dad. I'm so hungry. It was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. And of course, he talked me down and things worked themselves out. But it took a few days. And in those few days, I was sitting there in my room and I was crying. I was just upset and I was mad. I was like, God, you know, you guys know the conversation. Why me? Why is this happening? I'm at a Christian school. You know, I'm doing what you want me to do. Why is this so hard? And then my phone rang. I have no idea how they got my number. I have no idea. I just don't know. But this is what was on the other end of the line. Hello? Do you need a meal plan? Oh my gosh, yes. I do. I'm starving. So then, right after I hung up the phone and everything seemed to be working out and I was kind of in this calm, that's when I heard it, the small whisper. It said, be still and know that I am God. And that snapped me out of it real quick. God wasn't in all the craziness and distractions around me. He wasn't in all the, you know, my doubt and frustration. He was there with me the whole time in me. waiting for me to listen. So invest in people, make your faith your own, and listen.